This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. That means we have a choice. You have a choice to rejoice. And in this choice that we make, the choice has been impressed by the Spirit of God or by the spirit of the enemy. Choices. Choices. Choices is associated with will. And we are made of three parts, a spirit, soul, and body. And in our soul is the mind, the emotions, and the will. The mind is associated with thoughts. The emotions is associated with feelings. And the will is associated with choice. So one of the things the enemy always tries to do is impress you to make the wrong choice. But, yeah, and now listen. So many times when we blow it, we condemn ourselves more than what the devil does. And then what happens is it prevents us from going forward because we're so stuck in where we're at. And we want to get unstuck. That's why it's important about the anointing, because the anointing is associated with oil. You know, did you ever try to grab a greasy pig? It's not easy. So the more you're oiled up, the harder it is for the enemy to grab hold of you. Amen? Because the anointing causes him to slip. Praise God. And in this, the anointing breaks all yokes of bondages. So again, one of the things that the enemy is always trying to do is impress us to make the wrong choice. And you know, even when you ask for forgiveness, God forgives us. The problem is we don't. And the enemy doesn't. Then it begins to beat us up even more. When we're going, oh, Lord, please forgive me. He says, forgive you for what? You're already forgiven. But see, these are areas of deception. In Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it is vitally important that we not only know what the will of God is, but what the will of the devil is. We must know his tactics. We must understand the areas where he's getting ready to move on something. You know, he never attacks you when you're ready. Yeah. He throws little banana peels, you know, around where you might slip a little bit. Sends temptations and things to that degree, and loss in the mind and all kinds of things. But he doesn't really attack you when you're ready. He attacks you when you're not. When you least expect it, he shows up. Because what he's been doing, he's been priming. He's been getting everything set up for the attack. So that's why the word says that we must be ready in season and out. In other words, we must always realize that there is a snare of deception that the enemy's trying to establish in every area. It doesn't mean that you're walking in suspicion or you're walking in fear. It means that everything that you're involved in, you must be able to see it through. You must be able to see it through. You must be ask yourself, this thought, this choice, this decision I'm about to make, is it from the Lord or is it from me? Is my desire speaking louder than the voice of God? So understand that there is a snare of deception and there is a spirit of deception. And in the snare of deception, it means that the enemy is trying to snare you to deceive you. It's like a trap that we step in, and the next thing we know, we're deceived. And don't even realize that we've been there. And sometimes it's too late. Now we've transgressed, we've opened a door, we've broken covenant, and all kinds of things is happening to us. And now such guilt and condemnation has been established that we don't even want to get back in the presence of God. But it's not we that doesn't want to get back in the presence of God. It's the spirit now that has accessed us, called a spirit of deception, that doesn't want us to get back into the presence of God. Is everybody okay? Would you turn to Revelation chapter 12? In verse 9. It says, so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who what? He deceives the whole world. Now we know Satan himself cannot deceive the whole world. So everybody got it. But his associates, his servants, deceive the world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. That's why we have principalities who are angels of Satan. They rule over territories, nations, cities, and countries. And verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, which is the anointing, has come for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Do you know that the devil stands before the throne accusing you? And they overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. They did not love their lives to death. So we see here that they overcame him by the blood of Christ. Not by anything you and I did, but by what he did on the cross. So they overcome the enemy by not our strength, but the strength of Christ, the anointing. And they overcame him by the word of their testimony. The word of the testimony is what Christ has done for you. In other words, I'm saved by the blood of the price of Christ. And now you have a testimony that you are a new creation in Christ, and all things have passed away, and all things become new. Your testimony now is the voice of God. So they overcame him by the blood of Christ, the voice of Christ, and they didn't love their lives to death. So they were willing to die. Victory can never be established till you're willing to die. Two things are always maintained, death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. Those two things are always established in a believer's life. Because for you to maintain resurrection life, you must be dead. For you to walk in the Spirit, you must be dead. So you must come to the end of yourself and die. So many times we're trying to walk in the power of Christ, but we haven't died yet. So we must always come to the end of ourself. The reason why we struggle, the reason why we get frustrated, is because we're actually fighting for our life instead of surrendering it to death. You know, so many times we're fighting for a healing. We're fighting for finances. We're fighting for certain things. And we begin to walk out of the plan of God into our own plan and assumption. We're fighting for certain things that we believe is the will of God for us. But what God is saying, you don't have to fight for those things. You have to surrender those things to me. Wait on me and let me establish it. How many times do people answer their own prayers? Oh, Lord, I need a new car. Okay. They go out, they go buy a car, and put themselves in debt with a lot of money. You know, people think that $4,000 a month on a car payment is a blessing. I don't. Or they go out and buy something that they shouldn't buy at that time. Does everybody understand that? See, God's will is always associated with God's time. They marry the wrong person. They get the wrong job. See, even the enemy, the snare of deception, believe it or not, you can be successful even in deception. The enemy loves it, loves when you're successful in deception. The worst thing that can happen to me and you is be successful in the wrong assignment. Amen? So in this, we must begin to realize that everything that we're associated with as a believer in this realm, even though we walk in both realms, that there is a snare of deception trying to attach to you. That's where you must make what is unseen to become what? Seen. You must make what is unseen to become seen, because the enemy is trying to snare us with deception. So we must see things through. Whatever you're doing, we must see things through. Always. If you're an individual that does not see things through, that means you're short-sighted. That means you've lost like-mindedness with Christ. Whether it be at your play, your job, your whatever it is, we're to be seeing things through. Because what happens now is that the enemy's got your attention on something else. If he can get your attention on something else, he's got a snare of deception set up. And usually the attention is on self, somehow associated with self. It's usually not on something else. It's usually that something else is usually associated with self. Oh, I really need this. Let's see, how many hours can I work to get this? What do I have to do to get the money to get this? See, the enemy's already setting up a snare. Does everybody got this? Because now we're trusting in us and not him. When you hear more than two eyes, the third eye you just struck out. There's a trinity of self, me, myself, and I. It's darkness. So we see that the Satan's kingdom's purpose is to deceive the whole world. Do you think war has just started because of an argument? Who's behind these wars? Isn't it Satan's greatest desire that man kill each other? Think about it. So one of his greatest successes was religion. Now people are killing over religion. You know, and in their belief system, which is flawed, causes an individual to perceive differently. If you have a flawed belief system, your perception is flawed also. That's why there's certain levels. There's certain levels that go into the spirit, because each level has a different language. People begin to talk differently. Let me tell you, the deeper you go into spirit, the different you speak. Because you see things different too. Because by revelation of the spirit, the mind of Christ is being more manifested in an individual. So they're seeing more things than some other people. It has nothing to do with salvation. Do you understand that? It has nothing to do with favor. But I can tell you what, if you can see more, you think God can trust you more? Amen. Why? Because he knows that you won't be deceived as easily. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5? So you must learn so you don't get burned. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 5, the snare of deception. In verse 5, let's start it. Likewise, you younger people, submit. Everyone say submit. Submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Humble. For God resists the what? Proud. But he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, he's going to release the promise to you in his time, not your time. You cannot force the hand of God. If you attempt to force the hand of God, he removes it. And you're on your own. And I can guarantee you, you'll make the wrong decision. Unless you repent and turn. He says he will exalt you in due time. So he says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because you're what? Adversary, the devil, walks about like a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he cannot devour you without snaring you in deception. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Now, faith is associated with spiritual sight. So if you're spiritually blinded, it's very difficult. See, many people think faith is just, well, I'm walking by faith. Well, faith comes by hearing. So if God's not told you, because when you hear, you see. I said, when you hear, you see. So faith is actually spiritual sight. Because when God speaks to you, you see. Faith is not blind. It's called assumption. And there's a difference. People get snared in deception because they assume. That is the snare of the devil, to cause an individual to assume. They put them in a state of anxiousness. And the word says, be anxious for nothing but prayer and supplication. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you are not the only one going through it. Oh, why? Oh, it's me. Why does this only happen to me? Oh, there's a lot of people that are out there pretending nothing happens. How are you? Oh, I'm just blessed. Everything's wonderful. They shut the door. Oh, God! Why me? I can't believe it. See, that's reality. Believe me, there isn't one person that's walking around like this all day long. Hallelujah. So we're to resist the devil in the faith. And he says, listen, you're not the only one. In verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Okay, so he said, not if you suffer, it's after you suffer. So let me tell you, everyone is going to go through sufferings because you learn through sufferings. How are you going to learn without experience suffering? Anybody ever been offended? Don't raise your hands. Anybody ever been betrayed? Anybody ever been lied to? Hello. All of these things is a part of suffering. You know, especially false expectations. You were expecting something to happen. You were expecting God to do something, and it didn't happen. And you were expected this person with this kind of integrity to do something, and they didn't. Let me tell you, high expectations will be big downfalls. Your expectation needs to be turned over to the Lord. Because expectations can promote anxiousness. Well, this is just how I think it should done. Well, we have opinions, but we should probably most of the time keep them to ourselves. God is not interested in opinion. He is interested in truth. Amen? So everybody is going through it, so you're not the only one. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not the only one. Now he says this is what's wonderful. He says, after you have suffered a while, that he may perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So how many of y'all know that the Lord wants to strengthen you? How many of y'all know that he wants to settle you? How many of y'all know that he wants to perfect you? Okay, so are you going to suffer? Yes! Welcome to the house of suffering. You know, doesn't the word say, don't think it's strange when you fall into various trials? It never said if. It's when. This is how the Lord trains us. The devil's, listen, the enemy's going to try that snare of deception. You're going to bite the bait. And depending how quick you're willing to get out depends on how bruised you get. Now, I would rather learn through somebody else's experiences. I want to learn through your sufferings, not my own. You know, you want to learn a lot, hang around with somebody that's suffering a lot, but not too much, because they end up coming on you then. But through our sufferings, we're learning. Amen? You know, when I had my visitation from the Lord, after a while, I wanted to say, what took you so long, man? You know, 39 years I've been suffering out there. It's like, what took you so long? And I realized later that he allowed me to go through these things. It wasn't predestined for me to go through them. I made the choices. And not saying that they didn't send a rescue now and then, but I still chose, you know, to do it my way. You know, I think I needed to be rescued this way. Oh. You know, and we get that arrogant attitude, don't we, as carnalites. But in this, you know, I always, what took you so long, man? What? You know, I nearly died. Can you imagine telling God, I nearly died? Lord, guy nearly died. What happened? I mean, I overdosed so many times, I probably have a world's record. Not that I was keeping track. But I do remember those times when I was packed in ice and woke up and all kinds of stuff, and people were over me going, oh, my God, he's still alive. I should have been dead. And then how many promises do we make? Oh, God, get me through this, and I'll never do it again. Please. Just one more time, I'm telling you. God, just get me through. I don't know who you are, but I'm calling on a God to get me through this. And then he gets you through it, and then we, whoa. Okay, cool. I think I'll try it again. That's like, how stupid can I be and still breathe? And then you do it all over again. And then you go back to, oh God, okay, one more chance. You get me through this one. Yeah, my heart's about to pump out of my body. I know I'm overdosing right now and I'm seeing funny things. The thing was, is the funny things you were seeing were real. See, when the powers of darkness see that you're dying, demons show up to come and get you. Those shadows, that fear, all those things. Yeah. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he first must snare you in deception. He tries to snare you in deception so he can access you. So everybody got it. So you're not the only one, okay? So the devil seeks whom he can snare or catch in deception. That's what he does. In Psalm 38. So we've got to begin to recognize that he's trying to set a snare. Again, it's not that we're to walk in paranoia or suspicion or fear, but we're to see things through. We're to hear it through, see it through, and speak it through. The things of God, his word. In Psalm 38 and verse 9, is everybody there? Let's speak it. Lord, all my desires before you. Now think about this. He's telling the Lord, Lord, you know what? You know my desires. You know my motive. You know my attitude. You know all of this. There isn't anything hidden from you. You know, so many people go to, oh, Lord, you know my heart. Yes, he does. And they think they can get away with it. You can't get away with just telling the Lord, you know my heart. Has everybody got it? He wants you to expose your own heart. Because if you don't, he will. Here the psalmist David cries out. He says, Lord, all my desires are before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it is also gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. What are they seeking? Your life. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all day long. Like the powers of darkness don't have anything else to do. They don't play football, baseball, or tennis. They don't go to dances, although they do go to dances, but for the wrong reason. So what they're doing all day long is planting a snare of deception towards you. When you're brought into this earth, Satan already assigned demons to you. You inherited certain things that were assigned to you. And as you begin to grow, bigger demons come. The smaller ones usually go, or they hang around to get fed. And as the more truth you know, then the Lord sends bigger demons. Because they're always trying to keep you in a state of limitations so you can't grow. You stay in this place and you become religion. You become religious in the state that you begin to know truths but not apply them. Has everybody got it? See, when you know truth and don't apply it, it's called religion. And there's a lot of people that know truth, but they're not free because they're not applying it or practicing it. Oh, I know Jesus. Yeah, I'm saved. You want to go to the bar? You know, so there's a lot of people that are going to proclaim that they know Jesus, but it's not the same Jesus you know. Even Paul warned us, many will come with the same gospel, preaching the same gospel, but it'll be a different Jesus because it'll be twisted. You know, we were at a service the other day at a funeral, and it was sweet. I mean, you know, it was really sweet to hear people praising God. It was sweet in the area. It was a strange joke from the, I don't know what he's called, father, priest, whatever. But, you know, they began to pray for the saints, and it was like, man, this. They begin to pray for the dead, the dead saints. And I stepped back and I realized, wow, you know, here it is, people that are praising God and loving God, but are still deceived. So what this has done is the snare of deception by doctrine. Now, in other words, they're using the same Bible, but it's not interpreted correctly. Does everybody got that? Because praying to the dead is called necromancing, and it's an abomination. So when your grandmother shows up in your room that's been dead 20 years, it is not a message from God. It is a familiar spirit.
Oh, she shows up every night.
Well, she gives me good hope. She tells me I need to go to church. Well, the devil comes as an angel of light. He'll tell you to go to church. He'll even give you scriptures to read. But the thing he's doing is keeping you in contact with him. Does everybody get this? I get all kinds. I'm telling you, I run into many believers who tell me their grandfather showed up, or Aunt Lucy showed up, or Uncle Henry, or whatever. You know, and they came to speak to them. So they talk to one another daily. It's like you talking to E.T. or Santa Claus. Nothing but a jolly fat demon who deceives people. So in this, please understand that they are planning deception all day long. They are trying to snare you in deception. That's their plan. That's what they live for. Because if they can snare you in deception, it causes an emotion and they get fed. Do you ever notice that a dog loves you when you have food? My dog greets me every day at the door, wagging his tail. Yes. Where's the treats, baby? She'll come up, bump me, give me a little hug, and then walk right to the treat door. You know, come on. I did it. Demons are the same way. They're after you to get fed. That's all. And they'll use you up until you die and then go to somebody else. Luke 12 and verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said to a man, "Who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take what? Heed and beware of what? Covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Oh. You know how many people put value on possession? They put value on possession. You know, there's many people who think, "Oh my gosh, that person must be blessed. Look at the car they drive. Oh, look at the house they live in. Oh, look at..." Let's never associate blessed with possessions. You might as well go to one of the cartel's homes. They've got everything. And they're not blessed. They're cursed. Does everybody got it? And no matter what, you don't judge by possession. You judge by fruit. You don't judge by possession. You judge by fruit. So these individuals, he said, listen, take heed. In other words, make sure you know what you're hearing. Take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. Covetousness. That means you're an individual that doesn't share. You covet everything. And you know what? If you remember Sapphira and Ananias, they made an agreement that they would sell a piece of property and turn it all over and give all the money.
Yeah, we'll do this. Don't fret.
So when time came, they talked to each other. Hey, you know, I know that we said we were going to do this. Yes, dear, but let's hold back some money. Okay, nobody will know. Is there a God in heaven? So they go and stand before him, and the Holy Spirit tells them they're holding back the cash. And it wasn't about holding back the money. They could have gone there and said, listen, we've changed our mind. We're going to give this much money because we have some other things we've done. Okay, cool. But they lied to the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens to them? They drop dead. They drop dead. Do you know why? Because mind was no longer on kingdom business. It was on self business. It was no longer on kingdom business, it was on self business. One of the worst things you can do is lie to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Does everybody understand that? That means that you've lost that relationship. When you have to lie, you've lost relationship. I don't care how much you repent and whatever. Unless you stop lying, God will not listen. Because to repent means to turn. So if you're an individual that constantly lies to protect self, promote self, you have lost the trust of God. And I can tell you the first spirit that shows up is a divination spirit who loves to interpret the Holy Spirit. And loves to interpret anything that the Holy Spirit is saying. You know, he tries to interpret these things. But he plays the Holy Spirit on an individual. And that individual thinks, well, everything's okay. Yes, because judgment hasn't come on me yet. Oh, God must still love me. Yes, he does love you. But he's no longer with you. It's another spirit that's with you. But he's waiting for you to turn around and get things right. So if you're an individual that's constantly lying, you cannot earn the trust of God. Has everybody got it? And he will never send you to serve him. Never. He never sends you. That individual end up sending themselves and getting in trouble later. Hallelujah. Take heed. In other words, take heed. Hear and receive. Intake into your soul or your spirit. Listen to what God is saying. Listen. Listen means give me your attention. Hear means to receive. So you're going to listen, you're going to hear, then you're going to do. You're going to listen, you're going to hear, and you're going to do what the Spirit says. So everybody got it? Why? Because he sees the snare of deception trying to entangle you. So he said, beware of covetousness. Take heed. And Luke 8. Luke 8 and verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed of the word of God. And it says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. In other words, he deceives them. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. In other words, there's limitations. Fruits can never mature. So that means that individual can never mature. It's always childish. In other words, that child can never grow. So doesn't a child lie? Amen. So a child can never earn the full trust of God, and God will never send an individual out to serve who is not mature. Amen. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with what? Patience, or what we know as endurance. So in other words, what they did is they heard, they listened, they heard, and they did it. So everybody got it. They listened, they heard, and they did it. So listen, hear, and do. Listen, hear, and do. It's not a shampoo or a conditioner. It's listen, hear, and do. It's a divine order of obedience. You listen, you hear, and you do. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Proverbs 16. Verse 10. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination for kings who commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. As messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. It says that the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. But pride goes before what? Destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find what? Good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is what? Is he. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Proverbs 18. In verse 6, it says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare of his what? So you got to understand that the enemy is always going to try to snare you to speak something to snare your soul. Now again, your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. So he's trying to convince you to say something that's going to snare your own soul, cause you to make a wrong decision, cause an emotional attachment. Are you listening? And cause you to think differently. Because as a man thinks, so he is. He'll snare your soul through thoughts, through choices, which is a will, and emotions or feelings. And Psalm 106. These are areas that he loves to snare us. So he's going to snare you with your own mouth, isn't he? Psalm 106 and verse 34. It says, they did not destroy the peoples because they were told to go out and destroy, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them. But they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their what? Learned their work. They served their idols, which became a what? Snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. Wow. Think about this. This started because of disobedience, what God said to do, because of the snare of deception, so they disobeyed God. Then they hung out with those who they were supposed to destroy, and they learned their ways, and they began to serve their idols. Now that caused them to sacrifice their own children and to offer them to demons. All started in a righteous way, totally backslidden, to actually sacrifice their own children to demons. Spiritually, people do that. Because in Hosea 4:6 it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you have rejected my knowledge, I will reject you for being priest. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. That means they have been offered to the wrong thing. So it's important that you and I get in line so our children get rescued. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Is everybody okay? Snare of deception. Verse 24, it says, make no friendship with a what? An angry man. With a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a what? Snare for your soul. Yeah. So it's snare by association. You know, I get many people tell me, you know, especially when they want to come into the discipleship house, they've in the jail, and people come up to me and they hand me an application. I've even got people that ask me, would you call my girlfriend for me and tell them that I really want to go to this program? I won't express my thoughts, but I share with them, is this girl a believer? And they'll say, yes. And you're a believer, yes. Did you sleep with her? Well, yeah. Well, I thought you were a believer. Well, I am a believer. Well, if you're a believer, why are you fornicating? Because, see, the word believe means to follow. Now they step back and go, maybe I wasn't a believer. You're absolutely right. Because believers don't do that. They don't fornicate. Because they know if they die in that condition, they go to hell. Now what's happened is they lost the fear of God and the reverence to Him. See, this is how the enemy snares. Because things that are accepted by the world doesn't mean they're accepted by God. Again, just because things are accepted by the world doesn't mean they're accepted by God. The world accepts smoking, drinking, and partying. They call it good. And the Word tells us that the things are going to be called good from the eyes of God will be known as evil. And the world will call evil good. And that's happening now. And it's escalating more and more and more because of the snare of deception. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be what? Deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So we see here, it talks about the things that the enemy deceives, because the world approves fornication. The world approves same-sex marriage. These are snares of deception. And if you approve of it, then you'll be judged with those who approve also, who do it. Again, if you approve of it, you are judged the same way before God. Well, I got friends that are same-sex married. Well, you need to tell them the truth. You know, especially in the jail, I go in there sometimes and I'm thinking, man, you're in the wrong dorm. And that's the first thought that comes to me. You're in the wrong dorm. What are you doing in here? You know, I was like, wait a minute. Okay, I got it. Yeah. And the snare of deception is that they believe that's what they are. This is who they are. This is who I am. No, that's a spirit in you. That's a spirit. And that spirit has convinced that individual that they're a girl when they're a boy. Or a boy when they're a girl. And that spirit in that individual stays such a long time, that person begins to change. Because as a man thinks, so he is. But many people get free from that. Because the reality of they've been deceived. And they're thinking that there's something that they're really not. Isn't that how the enemy snares us? Doesn't he always give you his picture? He mails you a picture every day.
Here, this is who you are.
It's an air mail. Comes right through the air into your mind. It's called a fiery dart. This is you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Snare of deception. In verse 9, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we see here that the lawless one is associated with Satan's works. His purpose is to keep people in deception. And now when an individual constantly rejects the truth, in that condition, constantly rejecting the truth, eventually the Lord allows him to get strong delusion. You know, God will allow you to fall strong to wake you up. Amen. He'll allow you to fall strong to wake you up. In 2 Peter chapter 2. And Satan comes as the great deceiver. So are his cohorts. He uses people. Demons and people. In verse 12 it says, but these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. In other words, they are pagan offsprings. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he is rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome by him, also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So understand, these are believers that have backslidden. They've gone so back into darkness, some never come out. Not that it's not available, but some don't. Some die in that condition and go to hell. Is everybody okay? And it all started with a snare of deception. A simple snare of deception and brought them all the way back. There's something that you and I must constantly do. We must exercise our authority. I'm going to repeat this. We must exercise our authority and overcome or overtake Satan's authority. We must exercise our authority and overtake or overcome Satan's authority. And then establish the kingdom of authority. So we must take our authority, overcome Satan's authority, and establish kingdom authority in our households and wherever we are. Ephesians chapter 5. We must exercise our authority, overtake Satan's authority, and establish the kingdom of authority. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 6, let's speak it. Let no one what? deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. In other words, don't be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Well, they're believers. Well, if they're sleeping with you, they're not a believer. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are what? Evil. In other words, a snare of deception is working against you all day long. You know, when individuals come to me in the prison and in jail and so forth and tell me about how they have the girlfriend, this and that, one of the things I ask them, well, do you want to marry them? Well, no. Well, no, no. How long have you been together? 6 years? I don't want to marry him. But you want me to call them for you. Get behind me. Hallelujah. Let no one deceive you. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Verse 14. It says, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Ooh. In verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. In other words, a person who has the fear of the Lord fears reverence, respect, and honor to God. And his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Because one of the things that the enemy wants to snare us in is deception, because if he can snare you into deception, he knows he's snaring you into death. See, people take it nonchalantly, but I'm telling you, deception is death. Amen? So we must maintain the fear of the Lord, respect, honor, and reverence. Respect, in other words, it will turn us from the snare of death. But if you're not in relationship, if you don't have a prayer life, how do you expect to maintain the fear of the Lord? If you're not a worshiper, how do you expect to maintain the fear of the Lord? You can't. The only thing you'll be afraid of is losing what you have. Hallelujah. And Proverbs 13, while we're here. In verse 13. It says, he who despises the word will be what? Destroyed. But he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. In other words, the word, the law is also associated with the word. So in this, we must use the word. So we must hear it. We must see it. And we must speak it. So we hear it all the way through. We see it all the way through, and we speak it to get through. I'm going to say that again. We hear it all the way through, we see it all the way through, and we speak it to get through. 2 Timothy chapter 2. How many all know addiction is a snare of deception? How do you know pornography is a snare of deception? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, in other words, if they repent and turn away, he will be a vessel of honor. If he's not willing to repent and turn away, he'll be a vessel of dishonor. He'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil or the snare of deception, having been taken captive to do his will. So again, we must constantly see things through. Hear it through, see it through, speak it through. Begin to listen, begin to hear, begin to do. Allow the fear of the Lord to maintain always within you. The Lord should always be before us. If the Lord's not before you, it's because you've lost the fear of the Lord. Has everybody got it? In other words, God should always be standing there, no matter what. And no matter how many doors you shut, no matter how many blankets you put over your head, no matter how many beds you hide under, God sees all and knows all. There isn't anything hidden from him. And when you maintain that, that's relationship. If that's not maintained, there is not relationship. It's religion. Has everybody got it? It is religion, and you'll be snared with pride, and knowledge will begin to puff you up instead of humble you. And the enemy is just snaring you with deception, ready to take you out as much as he can. The world is under deception. We are the light of the world. We are here to be trained up. Doesn't matter where we've come from or what we've done. Yesterday's over. It's a new beginning. We're to learn so we don't get burned, and so the enemy doesn't use us to burn somebody else. Amen? The time is now. Learn. Wherever you are you standing before God or away from God? Turn. Let go of yesterday. Don't hold on. Grab hold of him. He says, you grab hold of him, he'll grab hold of you. You let go of him, he'll let go of you. It's time. Judgment is in the house of God. And judgment will continue to increase and increase until his body is blemish free. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. Again, we repent for those areas where we've allowed the enemy to snare us in deception. You said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That you will snare our fowler, and that you will snare our enemies. Lord, hide us in that secret place. Feed us from your throne room and teach us your ways. And let the fear of the Lord always be before us, that we walk in the authority of Christ Jesus, overcoming the authority of Satan and establishing the authority of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.